Before we hear today's reading from 1 Corinthians, from Luke, I want to remind you of what we heard from Paul in 1 Corinthians last week. This is from chapter 15, verse 48 through 49. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust, meaning all of us mortal people. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. A reading from the Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 28th verse. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent. And in those days they told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions, but Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A lot is made of mountaintop experiences versus valley experiences with this text, and I'm going to do my best not to do that, because I think this is pretty much one experience. Either way, the glory that God receives is the same. Some people will say, when we're on the mountaintop in church or in revival or having a great good old day, God is more readily visible than when we're in suffering, and I just completely disagree with that. Because Christ was made known in both, was he not? Was God not glorified in both cases? When Jesus was transformed, were the disciples not aware of who he was? When Jesus healed the boy, was not God glorified? Was the glory that God received any less? Was the gratefulness of the people any less than the gratefulness of those who were on the mountaintop? No. In both cases, Jesus was revealed to them. In something that we call transfiguration. Who was going to help me? Anybody? Anybody coming? I don't see anybody moving. All right, well, here I come. I'll do it. What's that word? Come on now, play with me. If y'all don't do it, I can't get them to do it. Transfiguration. Which words are highlighted? Figure. Okay, let's show them. Y'all ready? What's that word? Which word is highlighted? Don't say what the choir said. Say something different. No, it's not. It's figure, right? Figure. What is a figure? All right, guys, come up out of the gutter. What is a figure? It's a good question, isn't it? Usually I use the word figure like, well, I figured that would happen. I don't even know what that means. It's like I take it over and substitute it for reckon or I thought, right? I'm not sure that's what it means, but I know what it means from being an architect. Can we share that funky knowledge with you? Here we go. This is more fun than being up there, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes I like to have fun in church. Sometimes not, because there's no fun allowed in church, right, Sandy? Transfiguration, a figure. I'm going to show you some figures. You ready? I'm going to show y'all first, and I'm going to show you the choir, and then we're going to ask what it was, okay? Don't say it. Just look at it. If you can't see it, raise your hand. Can y'all see that back there in the back? Freddie, you can't see that. You can't see anything. Can you see that? Freddie's got it. All right. Can y'all see it? All right, let's show the choir. What are those things? Y'all see it? All right, what is it? How do you know what it is? A figure is a representation. Exactly right. We know what it is because we have seen giraffes, right? And we can see, we can interpret the figure from the outline. This is an acacia tree. I know that because I've seen acacia trees. This is a bird. I know that because I've seen a bird fly, right? And I recognize it even by just the outline. I don't need all the penciled fill-in and all that stuff. And there's a giraffe. All right, let's try another one. You ready? Everybody say yes. Isn't this exciting? What is that? Everybody's favorite house guest. Don't say it yet. Everybody loves to have one of these under their bed at night. The bigger, the better. Can y'all see it up there? I know Norma saw it because she went, oh no. What is it? What kind of spider is it? A black widow spider. If you live in the South, you know what that is, because when you were 3 years old, somebody scared you to death about a black widow spider. Said that thing jumped 10 feet, plug you in the neck and kill you. All right, let's do one more. Are you ready? We'll let choir go first. Here's another figure. What is it? Don't say it. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. If you can't see it, don't you say anything. I'm not using this one because I'm obsessed. Actually, I am, Lucille, but it's okay. What is that? All right, y'all ready? What is that? A fish. What kind of fish is it? A bass. See how good we are at recognizing figures? We have the ability to see things and to see the shapes of things and interpret patterns. It's something that God has given us. It's cool, isn't it? Everybody in here could do it. We could see the figure. Everybody has that gift. To be able to see something that they've seen over and over and over and over and recognize it. If you saw an octagon on a stick, what would you think it was? Stop sign. What about a circle on a stick? What would that be? Railroad. Uh-oh. A railroad or a lollipop. Right? We had the ability to recognize things. It's a gift that God has given us. It's called reason, right? The church fathers taught us that reason is faith seeking understanding. And all through our life, we try to figure things out, like the question of human sexuality, by being faithful to God in the midst of reasoning. By recognizing God in things and recognizing when God is not in something. Trying to learn how that looks. Also, they had learned how Jesus looked, right? If I had brought in a caricature of a, y'all remember the felt boards that we played with? We don't have felt boards here, do we? I don't think I've seen one. But So y'all kids won't get this, I'm sorry. But adults, we used to have these felt boards and little felt Jesus that we could stick on the road like he was walking up the road. Remember that? Every last one of us could see an outline of a picture of an American white Jesus and pick him out of something and say, that's American white Jesus, right? Likewise, people in the Philippines could pick a Jesus out that's been drawn like a Filipino person. People in Kenya could pick a Jesus out that's been drawn like a Kenyan person, because people tend to draw Jesus in our own likeness, recognizing that Jesus is God come in our likeness. That's why different cultures draw Jesus differently. We celebrate that Jesus came to be fully human and take on our figure. Did you hear that? Now, they could see that plainly, right? Peter and James and John had zero doubt that Jesus was human. But they had never seen the divine figure of Jesus. They had never seen the divine image in him. And that's what they were allowed to see on the mountain. They saw the power and the glory of God in Jesus. They saw Elijah and they saw Moses come to speak with him. Elijah and Moses, pretty important to the Israelite story, right? Remember, Moses led them out of slavery to Egypt? Jesus will lead us out of slavery to sin and death. Elijah was a prophet and represents the prophets and all that kind of stuff. And all of that, we learn, points to Jesus, to the coming of God in human likeness, to God taking on our figure. And in that moment, on that mountaintop, they were allowed to see that, to see the glory of God in vivid display and technicolor brilliance. If Cecil B. DeMille had made a Transfiguration movie, can you imagine the special effects he would have used? Remember the Moses movie, Ten Commandments? Y'all remember that? We just got to have a movie night around here. Could you imagine that? Jesus was changed so much so that they were able to recognize something dramatically different in him. And then a cloud covered the mountain, which is exactly what happened when Moses went up the mountain, right? And remember Moses, when he came down with the Ten Commandments, they had to put a veil over his face because he had been in the presence of God. But in Jesus, the presence of God was visible in him. And they were allowed to see it. But here's the thing. Did Luke not say that when Jesus came down from the mountaintop and healed the little boy, did he not say that they glorified God then as well? So even in the healing of the little boy, in the giving back of the son to the father, God's brilliance is visible. God's figure is visible in Jesus. Paul makes an interesting point for us. Because, dear ones, this is nothing more than an image. Oh, I forgot about the child holding a butterfly. This is nothing more than an image of a largemouth bass. Paul says that each of us bears in ourselves the image of the man of dust. When we are born, we're fully human. We're Adam, or we're Eve. Adam just means man. We are those who have been formed of the dust and had breathed into us the breath of life. But Paul says we are becoming the figure of Christ in the world. That just as we have borne in ourselves the image of humanity, now we are being transformed to bear in ourselves the image of Christ. The figure of Christ. The same glory and beauty and love and light that the disciples saw in Jesus at the top of the mountain. In our church, we call that process sanctification. We call it going on to perfection. being remade in the image, the likeness of Christ. But before you get distracted by the word glory, you need to know that before this happened, Jesus had been telling his disciples that he was going to be put to death, that he was going to suffer, be killed, and be raised. And immediately after he healed the little boy, he tells them the same thing. Because Christ's glory and the glory of the church is to lay itself down for others. The glory of God is not a triumphal church in this world. It's a church that gives itself for others. When we take on the image of Christ, when we take on the glory of Christ, when we are refigured, when we are reconfigured and transfigured to reflect God's glory in the world by being the body of Christ in the world, it is for the purpose of giving ourselves for others so that the world can see Christ in us. At this table is where he calls us to that work. As we come here and receive in our hands the broken body of Christ, as we take in ourselves the cup that has been made to be the blood of Christ for us, we take into ourselves the very life of Christ. We are changed. We are made one with God, one with each other for a specific purpose, to be one in ministry to all the world. Not some of the world, not white people, not straight people, but all the world. No distinctions. No demographic left out. We come to be changed. That should feel threatening to us. Because when we come to the waters of baptism, we're called to death. To die to ourselves and be raised in Christ. We come today for that same purpose. To be remade. To be changed. To be transformed. To receive the very life of Christ. Dear ones, come in faith and know that as you come in faith, you receive the real presence of Jesus to be changed into his image. Amen.